and these supplemental pat downs uses the same intrusive procedure on people's groins that the military guards down at Guantanamo Bay use on the alleged enemy combatants. And this is something which leaked out in a federal court hearing. The Pentagon was being challenged on its intrusive searches of some of the detainees. And the Justice Department lawyer said in open court, told the federal judges that the intrusive searches at Gitmo were no big deal because it's basically like a TSA supplemental search, supplemental search in which the genital area is touched through the clothing with a flat hand, the same way the TSA does. Well, you know, maybe I'm a shy country boy, but I don't want people touching my genital area, you know, especially federal agents that, period. Let's just leave it at that. And this is the standard which the TSA is using to treat American citizens. They are, the TSA supplemental searches, it's as if the travelers are enemy combatants at Guantanamo.
And one thing we also see a lot of with the TSA is racial stereotyping. They'll often pull people aside because of what race they are or because they might look Muslim. So what has the history been on stereotyping in the TSA? And why are they not criticized more harshly for that, especially in today's environment where people are very fast to decry stereotyping within government?
Yeah, well, I've always suspected the TSA has been, really vigorous on me at these checkpoints since I fit their redneck stereotype. There have been a lot of allegations of that. I think at some points the agency bends over backwards to claim that it's treating everybody the same. I think that's, there have been some clear cases of abuses of that. I don't know how widespread it is. I think that, the fundamental problem is that the TSA is treating practically all travelers like major terror suspects, when if they had a reasonable security, system, it would recognize that the vast majority of travelers pose no threat to anybody.
So do you have any idea, and now obviously this is going to be hard to estimate, but do you have any idea of what the economic costs of the TSA? Obviously, there's the costs of the actual agency itself, but then there's also the costs of waiting in line and getting to the airport early and then being scarred by some of the things that a passenger might experience while being patted down or being dealt with by a TSA agent. So what are the economic costs?
As far as the psychological scarring, I've no estimate or thoughts on that, but certainly it's been a huge drag on time because, personally, if I'm going to the airport, then I add an extra half hour for TSA at least. And there've been TSA's been having horrendous backups in the last few months. A lot of places where people have been waiting an hour, 2 hours, and a huge number of missed flights because of that. So if you figure 600 million passengers per year, I think 300 million. Let's say everybody adds an extra half hour. You're you figure people's time is worth what, $15 an hour? You're getting into major billions of dollars there. TSA has had a huge impact on the tourism business in this country because it has, its abusive practices and its delays and its arbitrariness have deterred vast numbers of people from flying. And this has cost far more jobs than probably what the TSA has hired.
And how much does the TSA apparatus in and of itself cost?
Oh, Lord, I'm thinking around $7 or $8 billion right now. I don't have a number right in front of me.
Ooh. And I mean, it's almost like it's out of a movie, you feel sometimes like you're in a George Orwell book whenever you're in the airport. I know at some of the airports I go to, they have, over the loudspeaker, they'll say, do not make any jokes or anything you might say may be interpreted as hostile and stuff like that. And it's, you just kind of do a little bit of a double take and you're like, is this for real? I mean, it's just so outrageous.
Basically what they have done is try to make flying seem far more menacing. And that's part of the reason why a vast number of Americans no longer fly. And that's had a huge impact on the tourist business. And it's had a huge impact on deterring foreign tourists because, I've had some clashes with TSA, but, if you come in here and you've got a foreign passport, especially a foreign passport from the Middle East or something like that, you could have a hell of a lot worse problems than what I've had. So, I mean, and folks know that the word spreads, and you know, you don't want to travel in America because the federal agents will, you know, sexually assault you. I'm not saying that's what they do, but that's the reputation they have.
Do you know of anything in other countries that compares to this, or does the U.S. take security theater and civil liberties violations to a whole other level as far as airport security and travel go?
You know, my baseline for comparison is Europe, Western Europe, and I've dealt with a number of countries there, and they've all been, after 9/11, and they've all been light years more reasonable, and they've been courteous, they've been thorough, and they haven't made people just, you know, there is not the pointless degradation which permeates a lot of TSA procedures. There are TSA agents who try their best. There are TSA people who try to reform the agency. But it has so much arbitrary power, and that has become institutionalized. And the agency can get away with the vast majority of its abuses because it can, you know, claim it's you know, national security, sensitive security information, so it doesn't need to tell you what it did or why it did this. Congress, for the most part, has done a very poor job of oversight, and Congress has very rarely pulled in the reins on this agency. So, most unfortunate.
And what are some alternatives to the TSA and proposed reforms?
Privatizing airport security, short and simple. So, I mean, it's possible to do that, to have standards, and to have liability, which would help focus the mind for anybody who's providing security. So that would be a light year step in the right direction.
So what would have to happen in order for that to come about? Because as you alluded to earlier, the mindset of a lot of people seems to be, well, the TSA is inconvenient and it's no fun to go through, but it's better than the alternative. What could happen to convince people that, yeah, there is a good alternative, and that is abolishing the TSA having private security?
Yeah, there have been some airports that I think have switched to private security with no problems. TSA is trying to make it very, very difficult for airports to switch. So, but this is something which, I mean, this is something which could happen. If more people in the Congress made a bigger deal out of it, that would help. But this is a simple solution, and it's not guaranteed security, but the TSA sure as hell isn't either. So,
okay, do you have any recommended readings, and where can our listeners go to follow your work?
Well, jimbovard.com. I usually link my articles there in the USA Today or other places, Barron's, wherever, Wall Street Journal, wherever. Not that often. But and other places. So there's a number of very good websites on the TSA. TSA News Blog, I think, is one of them. But just search TSA and do a simple Google search TSA and outrage, and you'll probably find some good stuff.
Oh yeah, I bet that would turn up some good results. Absolutely. So I want to remind all of our listeners to go to wakeupcallpodcast.com/TSA. That's the show notes page for this episode, so we'll link to everything there, wakeupcallpodcast.com/TSA. And I also want to briefly mention that we just got a Twitter account for the show, so for those who are interested, they can follow us on Twitter at WUCPodcast. That's at WUCPodcast. And on that note, Jim, I want to thank you for joining us to tackle this TSA issue and put them in their place and where they belong. And we'd love to speak with you again sometime soon.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the air. It was fun to shoot the bull with you guys.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Wake Up Call podcast.
If you would like to listen to more episodes, please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or subscribe on Stitcher. And check out our website at wakeupcallpodcast.com.
There you will find show notes pages and comment sections dedicated to the show. You can also email us at contact@wakeupcallpodcast.com if you're interested in being interviewed for the show or have any other suggestions.
Thank you.